and father were married. They had five children within the span of 7 or 8 years. The mother of three notoriously unruly children was asked whether or not she'd have children if she had to do it over again. She immediately said yes, but was quick to add, but not the same ones. Phyllis Diller once said, and you mothers can understand this, and fathers as well, we spend the first 12 months of our children's lives teaching them to walk and talk, and the next 12 years telling them to sit down and be quiet. And of course, food is a very important thing for all of us as families. And Buddy Hackett said that when it came to the menu, it came to food, he said, my mother's menu consisted of two choices, take it or leave it. Well, the Family Research Council has examined modern-day patterns of behavior and activity that are related to your family and mine, to all families in the United States and in the world. And their studies have concluded that in the United States, here in the United States of America, less than half of all children will reach the age of 17 living in intact homes with married biological parents. And I don't have to tell you, we all understand that that is an alarming statistic in any culture, and it certainly gives added credence to the statement that our culture or our society is falling apart. Reflecting on those figures, there's so much that could be said, not only regarding the sanctity of marriage and the horrors of divorce, but also so much could be said about the responsibilities of both a mother and a father in the context of the home and in the context of raising children in a loving, secure home. But since today we are celebrating Mother's Day, I want to focus on the grace of noble motherhood and a significant part of the life-shaping work that not only occupies her time, the time, but also utilizes the energy, the skill, the expertise, and the competence of a godly mother. And of course, as you go through the Bible, there are many mothers whose lives we could look into on this Mother's Day. Eve, the mother of us all. Hannah, one of my favorites, the mother of Samuel. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, or Timothy's mother, that would be an interesting one, Eunice, or Eunice's mother, Lois. But I'd like to look at a familiar passage in the book of Proverbs, a text that is very, very appropriate as we consider the life and character of any mother who wants to do what is right before God in carrying out the responsibilities of her motherhood for the sake of her children, as well as for being the kind of mother who pleases God. So if you take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 31, your Bible will probably have printed at the top of the chapter something like this, Sayings of King Lemuel. And the very first verse says something like this, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. Well, obviously, you know, some of us are saying, who was King Lemuel? And that's a good question, because we really don't know. He was sort of an unknown king. Some early Jewish rabbis felt that Lemuel was actually Solomon, but modern scholars don't necessarily agree. Some of them feel as though early attempts to identify Lemuel as Solomon were merely for the purpose of making sure that all of the Proverbs that we have collected together were written by Solomon and not by other authors. Other scholars believe that King Lemuel was Hezekiah or even an anonymous Arabian prince. The bottom line is that we can't definitively say just who Lemuel was. But one thing that we can say for sure as we read what his mother counseled him is that his mother is obviously a mother who cares for her royal son, a mother who is deeply concerned that he live a life of moral purity, that he be a man of restraint and self-control, and that he be honest and deal with others with fair judgment, all of which would be kingly qualities and characteristics in anyone's book and in any generation. An important point to remember here is that Lemuel means devoted to God, or God is bright. And so the royal author of Proverbs 31, whoever he is, by God's grace, might essentially be saying something like this: what my mother taught me is really worth passing on to others. And he does just that in the passage that we're looking at today. And especially on this Mother's Day 2016, honestly, I'm really glad that Lemuel did pass it on to us, to me. The use of the word oracle here includes a sense that what was being said was somewhat of a burden. Now, I looked up in several other translations, and the word here, oracle, could be utterance, it could be strong advice, it could be prophetic revelation, and it could actually be translated as the vision that Lemuel had. Most likely, the reason for using the word oracle, meaning somewhat of a burden, was because such words, like oracles, would come from a person whom it was believed was perhaps in communication with a deity, or minimally a person with great knowledge or wisdom. And in the case of Lemuel, if he were asked about his mother's teachings or questioned about her philosophy for raising children, I could easily see him thinking something like this: my mother really is in touch with God. So what she has to say, yeah, it may be deep, and it may be heavy duty, but it will be certainly something worth paying attention to. In other words, these heavy-duty words come from the heart of a mother who truly is burdened by both the desire in her heart and the need for her child to be a good citizen, living a reputable life and above reproach. Almost like the words of the song that Mike sang, which was so beautiful and so appropriate this morning. Just a few moments ago, hush now, little baby, don't you cry, because there's someone down there waiting whose only goal in life is making sure you're always going to be all right. A loving angel, tender, tough, and strong. Come on, child. Wasn't that beautiful? It's time to meet your mom. And what a final picture with the baby there, and a gift from God. In today's jargon, this mother, Lemuel's mother, might say to her beloved son, Lemmy, that's short for Lemuel, Lemmy, these are dangerous days that we're living in. I want you to listen up, son, because I need to say some things to you that weigh heavily on my heart as your mom. They're really heavy-duty issues, things that if, son, if you listen attentively and you carefully carry them out, they're going to help you be the man of God that I hope you will always be. Of course, someone may want to say that Lemuel, whoever he was really saying here that his mother's words themselves were burdensome to him, and that this passage, therefore, reflects somewhat of a complaint from a harassed son who didn't want to be weighed down or hampered with the stress of obeying or giving in to an overly zealous mother whose hopes and dreams for her son were just simply way over the top. But I don't think so, because neither the text nor the context point to that kind of conclusion. And actually, it's quite the contrary. Well, another interpretation or translation for the word for oracle is tribute. And I think an overwhelming consideration through the centuries would certainly be that through what Lemuel recorded, this mother's words not only revealed the beauty of her character, but also revealed that she was identifying for her son the attributes of a healthy, God-focused lifestyle that, frankly, I think every mother or any well-meaning mother would want her children to exemplify, frankly, in any generation. So what I see in all of this is that ultimately it would certainly be a tribute to God's grace if any child, certainly Lemuel here, if any child would take to heart their mother's counsel or strong advice. And minimally, it would be a tribute or a conspicuous mark of respect for any son or any daughter to try to represent in their daily lives the qualities of life which this caring mother is outlining for her royal son. By the way, this passage sounds, you're probably already thinking ahead of me, sounds a bit like another scripture recalling the words of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament when he remembered Timothy or Timothy's own upbringing by his godly mother and grandmother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, and then in chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says, I'm reminded, and he's talking to young Timothy, I'm reminded of how sincere your faith is. Isn't that beautiful? That faith, first of all, lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm convinced that it also lives in you. What a glorious thing to say to a son or a child. And then in verse 15 of chapter 3, from infancy, see the impact of a mother from the beginning, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. And how did Timothy know the Holy Scriptures so well? Is through the faithful ministry of both a godly mother and grandmother. Ruth and I just recently, a couple weeks ago, spent 4 days in California with our son, and I'm always so truly pleased to observe his and our daughter Joy's respect for their mother. While we were with him, Jeff had some gracious words of gratitude and thanks, accompanied by a hug and a kiss, which he shared personally with Ruth in my presence. And I've always loved the mutual respect and love that he and Ruth have had, and the Joy and Ruth have shared from the time that they were both very, very young and able to talk, and even prior to that. So going back to Lemuel, whoever he was, King Lemuel would probably say some pretty gracious words of tribute about his mother, just like Paul said of Timothy's mother and grandmother, or like some children here at Cornerstone would most definitely speak of their mothers. One thing that caught my attention, and I think frankly should impress us as we read this, is that whether you are several centuries before Christ, or as we are today, 21 centuries after Christ, the issues of life, guess what? You read through this, they continue being basically the same that they experience and that we are experiencing. I mean, look at what this mother is dealing with, and we'll see that we can identify with the same issues today as they did back then. And guess what? They were not dealing with thousands of websites that promote wickedness and godlessness of the most vile and vicious kind like our kids have access to. Proverbs 31, 1 to 3. The words of King Lemuel, the strong advice his mother gave him. And Kent, I'm sure some mothers are going to be saying, oh, that's me. She says, oh, son of mine, what can you be thinking? Child whom I bore, and don't miss this, the son I dedicated to God. Don't dissipate. Don't squander or waste your virility, your manhood on fortune-hunting women, promiscuous women, women who have no spiritual anchor in their lives, who shipwreck and destroy kings. Somehow this mother knows that promiscuous women can destroy those who are leaders in their homes or leaders in their place of work or just leaders in life in general. Her words sound like Solomon himself in Proverbs chapter 2 when he's counseling his own son. He basically told his son that if he would listen to his dad's wise words and if he would apply them to his heart and life, verse 16, chapter 2, he would be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks, doesn't just aim down, it sinks down to death, and her paths sink down to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Bottom line, in any generation, moral carelessness and promiscuity are pretty serious issues when it comes to God. And notice what Solomon says to his son again in chapter 5 of Proverbs, speaking about fidelity to one's own spouse, being faithful to one's own spouse. He says, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Because should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water out in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. And he ends the chapter by reminding his son that a man who violates these basic guidelines of moral integrity and messes around with prostitution or fornication or adultery, guess what? He dies for lack of discipline. And because of his great folly, he is led astray. In other words, ultimately, he pays a very, very high price for his lust and his greed. No wonder Lemuel's mother was so burdened in her heart for her son. No wonder her words are referred to as strong advice. No wonder she wore her feelings on her sleeve when talking with him about moral issues. And of course, you probably already thought about this. If Lemuel really were Solomon, then Solomon's mother is Bathsheba, and she certainly would know what she's talking about in terms of moral issues, wouldn't she? You have to be impressed that Lemuel's mother identifies him as the son I dedicated to God in verse 2. You see, a godly mother, and a father, of course, a godly mother realizes the need for divine intervention in raising a child. She wants her child to walk with God. And that's why we dedicate our kids to the Lord, right? That's why we had this beautiful dedication this morning. Lemuel's mother wants the principles of Psalm chapter 1 to be a reality in her child's life. What does Psalm 1 say? It says, blessed is the man or the woman, any child. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But blessed is that young man, that son, that child of mine, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That beautiful? Which of us Christian parents has not dedicated our children to God to that same end, either formally in the church or in the privacy and sanctity of our own homes? I recall weeping and hugging and embracing our infant children, and Ruth and me dedicating them nearly 50 years ago to the Lord. I recall every night for many, many years into their teen years, between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. or 2 o'clock, whenever I would go to bed, going to each of their rooms before I would go to bed, kneeling down and pouring out my heart to the Lord on their behalf, night after night after night. We can understand the urgency of Lemuel's mother's words to her son, can't we? This is not just about the fact that she dedicated him to the Lord. This is not just about her faithfulness as a concerned mother, or about her great skill and competence in child rearing. Here as she speaks, the rapid pulse of this loving mother's heart, and don't miss the seriousness of that heart's desire as she says, this is the son I've dedicated to God. So we can't miss that this is ultimately about the faithfulness of God to whom she had dedicated her son, the God whom we believe answers prayer and to whom he is worthy of all of us dedicating our children. After all, he's the one who says what? Call unto me. Pray to me. Lean on me. Trust me to do what is right in your life. Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you what? Great and mighty things which you cannot imagine. This is the great God whom Paul refers to in Ephesians 1 when he says, I don't cease. I just don't stop praying for you. And picture yourself praying this prayer for your child or for your children. I never cease praying for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you son or daughter, would give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, that you may know what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and that you would know what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of God's great power that He worked in Christ when He did what? He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Imagine praying that prayer for each of your children whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do so. And you know what? As parents, our confidence in the power of God and in the power of resurrection, of new beginnings, will be tested over and over and over again whenever or if any of our children appear to go on a path that is contrary to God's will as revealed in the Bible. You can count on it. That prayer for our children will come back to bother us, if I can say it that way, in that sense. And Satan will harass our hearts like Job's wife chided him. Come on. Can't you just see her? I almost sense the frustration. Come on. You still holding on to your precious integrity, are you? Just curse God and die. So we get a glimpse into Lemuel's mother's urgent concern for her son from a heart that's already cried out to God many times on her son's behalf, from a heart that longs for her child to please God more than anything else, from a heart that fully expects that somewhere down the line, because that child has been dedicated to the Lord God, that child will finally listen to the voice of God and recall the voice of a loving mother whose only desire for him or her was simply stay close to God and walk with Him. From that tender, God-conscious heart, Lemuel's mother goes on to plead, "Son, verse 3, don't give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings." In other words, a godly mother warns her children of the dangers of sensuality. She's concerned that her children walk in moral integrity. Another thing is that a godly mother warns her children of the dangers of abuse of wine and alcoholic beverages, or in today's world, drugs. Notice what verse 4 says. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. Can't you hear his mother speaking to him? It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers, or those who are in significant places of leadership, or for rulers to take strong drink. Why, Mom? Lest they drink and they forget what has been decreed, and they end up perverting the rights of the afflicted. And as though his mother has unusual insight or experience to the payback of too much alcohol, she goes on to say, "You know what, son, think about this. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those who are in bitter distress." In other words, excessive use of alcohol is often an indication of more serious problems in a person's life. Too often, it is reflective of a person who's disconnected from the world of reality, or who is just simply trying to escape from the raw practicalities or realities of life. Here in the United States, drunk driving costs Americans about $500, each American about $500 a year. Every day, 27 people are killed by drunk drivers. Every 53 minutes, drunk driving ends a life. We are told that one in every 12 adults suffers from alcohol abuse or dependence, along with several million more who engage in risky drinking patterns that could eventually lead to alcohol problems. Solomon warns us in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. He says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without any walls." Excess of alcohol leads to lack of self-control and the eventual obvious letdown of necessary defenses. And I know that some of you could testify to that from your past experiences before Christ turned your life around. You are right now praising God for His great grace to you. And for us as Christians, we need to remember that the clear evidence that it is not ourselves, but rather it is the Holy Spirit who is really truly ruling in our lives, is that, and that he's controlling our desires for the glory of God, is the presence of what? It's that huge character quality called self-control, which, by the way, according to Galatians 5:22, is the fruit, or the evidence, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And that goes for alcohol, that goes for your tongue, your emotions, your thoughts, and anything else that might be impaired due to excessive abuse. Lemuel's mother says in verse 7, "Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more." I'm really, really fascinated by the obvious knowledge and the candid, straightforward courage of this mother. From the point of view of someone living in a palace and maybe sick and tired of observing the extravagant and the wasteful behavior of the overprivileged, she probably knew full well what Solomon was talking about in Proverbs 23. And notice this, and I think it's underlined, each word. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? All those positive terms, huh? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Here's the answer. It's those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. Why, Mom? Because in the end it bites, son. It bites like a serpent and it stings like an adder. Your eyes are going to see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. You will be like the one who does what? Lies down in the midst of the sea. What are you doing out there? You don't know what you're doing. That's why. Like one who lies on the top of a mast. What?
They struck me. They hit me. But I wasn't hurt. They beat me. But I didn't feel it. When am I going to wake up? I got to have another drink.
It's always been heartbreaking to read that passage. Because it is so true. A godly mother warns her children of the dangers of overindulgence in wine or alcoholic beverages or any other dangerous drug. And then in verse 8, King Lemuel's mother says, "Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." That's what a godly mother ultimately desires from her children, right? Sure it is. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to conclude that excessive use of alcohol is going to keep a person from assessing situations correctly. And it will greatly hinder them from judging righteously or coming to appropriately wise conclusions. Not only that, if they are inebriated, they will be unable to even be aware of, let alone be able to defend, the rights of the poor and the needy. Lemuel's mother knew this, either by personal experience or instinctively or most likely by what she had witnessed in the palace over the years of observing all of the partying that had been going on. I like what one commentator said. He said, "Lemuel's mother's teachings are affectionately reproachful." Nice way of saying it. She's in your face, baby, and you better listen. They're affectionately reproachful. "I love you, son, but you got to listen." That goes to the motive and the purpose of a loving, godly mother who's supremely interested in the spiritual well-being of her child. And based on what we know the Bible says about the right kind of parenting, I'm going to offer the following biblical logic for a godly mother to be affectionately reproachful in teaching her child or children. First of all, I'm assuming that throughout her lifetime, she had seen firsthand the dangerous effects of the abuse of alcohol, and she was intent on protecting her son from the same dangers. I've said that a couple of times already. Beyond that, however, as I begin a final review of this lesson, I would like to think that the mother who gave her son the name Lemuel, which means, remember, devoted to God, or God is bright, that this mother simply wants to proclaim to a world that is deceived by all of the wrong kinds of practices, And she stands up and she says, in the midst of great darkness, such like the darkness that we see in the 21st century in the day in which we live, let's get this straight, she says. I want to go on record that I am a loving, godly mother who wants to obey God. I want to please Him. It's like she's saying, I made a commitment to God. And like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 says, I want to do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord when it comes to my children, so that it might go well with them. I also think she wanted to send a clear message that a mother plays a significant role in the future of her child, and what child might consider to be nagging and badgering is really showing that I am a loving mother who cares about her child's future. And she speaks to that child and she says, you mess things up now, son or daughter, and it could end up being that no one will want to hire you. There will be issues of trust and confidence and suspicion and doubt about your work ethic or your work productivity and fear regarding your reliability or lack thereof on the job site. And furthermore, son, the parents of the people that you date and the people whom you date will want you to be the right kind of person. I'm just saying, son, I care about your future. I'm a loving mother who cares about her child's character, like Paul said to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. And I can see him saying this, let no one despise you for your youth. But in your youth, you set the believers an example in your speech, in how you live, in love, in faith, and in purity. And then in verse 16, he says, keep a close watch, son, on yourself and on the teaching. What teaching? Remember, we already heard his grandmother and mother. They've been laying it on him since he was an infant. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Son or daughter, I want others to see you not as a perfect or a holier-than-thou sort of young man or woman, but as someone who is honorable in character and who is driven by wanting to do what is right for the honor and glory of God. Can't you hear Lemuel's mother saying, I am a loving mother who cares about her child's reputation and his or her standing in society? Solomon reminds us that a foolish child brings shame and sadness to the heart of a parent. Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son brings joy to his father or to his mother, but a foolish son brings grief to his father or mother. There are a lot of children and young people who need to listen to what God is actually saying about their behavior in that verse in the Bible. James chapter 3, verse 13. James says, so who is wise? And who's understanding among you, adult or young person? Who is it? By his good conduct, let him show, let him prove or demonstrate or make that wisdom very obvious. Let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Lemuel's mother goes on to say, I'm a loving mother who cares about her child's acquaintances, concerned for those that he or she hangs around with and their habits. Back in Panama, and we've mentioned this to our children through the years, back in Panama, we used to open up our homes to some of the craziest wild kids that would come in from around the neighborhood. But we were glad, to have them in our turf, where we could look out the window every once in a while and see what they were doing. If our kids went to their places, oh my goodness, you imagine the nerves. I'm a loving mother who cares about her child's acquaintances, concerned for those he or she hangs around with and their habits. This is important, right? Because 1 Corinthians 15:33 reminds us that what? Bad company, frankly, ruins good intentions or good morals. Lemuel's mother. I'm a loving mother who cares about her child's morals and his or her moral integrity, which we've looked at already. In today's world, an observant mother knows the inherent dangers lurking in television and movies, and especially in interactive games that focus so heavily, it's amazing, on hatred, on revenge, on random killing, law-breaking, and other anti-biblical practices and standards. This mother is concerned that her child have the right kind of friends, that they listen to the right kind of influencers, and that they be equipped with the ability to discern and make the right choices. Just like Hebrews 5 says, solid or spiritual food is for whom? It's for the mature. And who are the mature? It's those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. A lot could be said about that scripture. The point here is that a godly mother plays a very important role in guiding her child's morals in the right direction and in helping or training her children to recognize and avoid evil in order to be familiar with and choose what is good from God's point of view. Lemuel's mother, hear her saying, I'm a loving mother who cares about her child's words, thoughts, actions, attitudes, all of which can be affected by spiritual carelessness. Ephesians chapter 5. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days, frankly, are very evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Lemuel's mother says, I'm a loving mother who's concerned that her child be close to God. Just like Peter says in 1 Peter 4, be self-controlled, be sober-minded, and go. Why does Peter say this? For the sake of your prayers. For the sake of your prayers. A loving mother graciously warns her son or daughter of what we think are King David's words in Psalm 66:18 when he says, you know what, if I had regarded sin in my heart, and imagine passing this on to our children, if I had regarded sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. Wow. Okay, so in conclusion, what's the payday look like for this kind of mother? I am a loving mother who wants to be honored by her children and by her husband. Proverbs 31, what does it say? 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Blessed. Her husband also. He praises her. In other words, hey guys, that's my mom. And I'm so thankful for her. I'm going to love her and I'm going to give her the respect that she deserves, which is the respect and honor that God Himself has given her position or her status as my mother. So, if Fox News or the Family Research Council or any other family-oriented agency were to interview King Lemuel today and ask him to say a few words regarding his mother, Frankly, I've got a sneaking suspicion that it would sound much like verse 30 in this same chapter. You know what? Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But I want to be honest with you. A woman like my mom, a woman who fears the Lord, is to be praised. Happy Mother's Day to all our wonderful Cornerstone mothers. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I'm so grateful for these few biblical insights to godly motherhood among all of the many, many other scriptures and insights that there are in the Bible. Please, please, gracious Father, grant grace to each mother here to be the woman, to be the godly influence in her children's lives that you want them to be. Forgive our disobedience, our disrespect, our rebellion and all the ways that we children have brought or continue to bring grief to our mothers. And gracious Father, teach us children to love and always be ready to respect the mother whom you have given us. And where today there may be failure and disappointment and heartache in someone's home or family, help us by your grace to trust you for the changes that are necessary in the heart and life of each family member. Above all, let us seek to honor you with our lives as fathers, as children, as mothers. We ask this humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.